What up, folks? All right, so today I want to talk about digital retailing. So had a consultative conversation yesterday and it just got my brain going, and I thought it'd be a great short episode that I could do and share with all of you my personal digital retailing strategy. You know, this is the way that I would set it up. Like when I'm consulting with dealerships about digital retailing, this is what we do. And I'll share an example of a group that I've set up their digital retailing experience with. And I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. And towards the end of the episode, I'll give you all those details. But anyway, so I think a good place to start is 50,000 view. Let's just talk about digital retailing as an experience. And then, you know, towards the end of this short episode, I'll give you my thoughts. So first of all, like I've said this multiple times on the show, but digital retailing exists because it was an advantage at some point. Some dealership or vendor saw it as a potential feature where the customer would come in and do a lot of the things that they spend time at the dealership doing online, right? You know, I don't think that, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't talked to the pioneer or the person that created this, right? So this could be completely not the case. But I don't think the digital retailing was built as a Carvana-esque type of an experience where the customer never has to come into the dealership, right? I think the digital retailing was built as a way to reduce time spent at the dealership by filling out paperwork, you know, evaluating your trade and doing a bunch of those things. And so I think where we've kind of gone off the map with it is where we are trying to sell this thing as a Carvana-like experience. And here's the kicker. It's not dealerships that are doing it. It's vendors and all the content out there. You know, I posted something, maybe it was last year, on digital retailing, and this person came back, this vendor that worked for cars.com, came back and was attacking my viewpoint, stating things like, you know, like I buy my cars in digital retail, it's the best experience possible. Dude, you're in the industry, right? Of course, you're gonna have an awesome experience buying a car. I have the best experience buying a car because I'll text a client, I'll be like, hey, I want this car, you know, and I spend zero time at the dealership. Right, I just go, I sign the paperwork, I tell them what I want, and it's done. Like we, the people in the industry, whether you're in the dealership or a vendor or whatever, you don't have those issues that the average consumer has on a day-to-day basis. So you cannot relate. It's like, I don't understand people are in the industry and they're giving their thoughts on things like digital retailing. Like, dude, you can't relate. When's the last time you waited 4 or 5 hours to get your car, right? So, you know, your experience is, you know, it shouldn't even be a thing. It's the most comical thing in the world when people in the industry talk about how amazing digital retailing experience is. I myself have been on the side of, you know, which I still feel that it is, right? That digital retailing is a very friction based lead widget. It's not, but it's not because the consumers don't see the value or the dealers don't see the value. The reason why I say those things is because we set these things up at the dealership and we don't set up the right processes to accompany what the experience that we're trying to deliver online. And let me go into, and I want to talk about these things on the session because this is where the breakdown occurs. Like, I don't need to have, I don't need to be going through it because I've been through it enough with multiple dealerships that I consult with. So whatever, and it doesn't matter which widget you use, whatever vendor you're using. If you're doing digital retailing, it goes something like this. You buy the tool, this is awesome, you put it on the website. The little bit better stores will have a conversation with their team, maybe talk about it in the sales meeting. You know, if they're some of the more progressive stores, they'll have the BDC departments or at least the BDC manager in that meeting. They can disseminate that information to their teams, and at least they know that the widget's on there. But typically, widget goes on there. It's not even set up properly in the CRM. The leads go nowhere. Like, nobody knows where the lead goes. Or if the lead comes in through like a Vint Solutions or Dealer Socket, of course, it doesn't have any of the credit information attached. Customer shows up. They provided all this information thinking that they're going to save time because that's kind of what the point is. Well, we don't really sell it like that, but more on that later when I get down to my strategy. But let's suppose that we're doing that at least with some sort of verbiage on the website, like, hey, you know, yeah, check out the express service or whatever. So now the customer assumes that they're going to save time and they go to the dealership and they don't save any time. They still spend 4 or 5 hours. They gave their credit information digitally. You don't know where that credit information ended up. And now the customer has even more distrust, right? So this is what I tell my clients all the time. Folks, we are in an industry of distrust. Customers don't trust us. And when we do things like this, we just exacerbate that and we perpetuate the stigma and we give customers ammo to trust us even less. And that's the problem. Like, we need to, if we're gonna put this widget on the website, we need to create a process around it. It's not just the lead goes here, but we need to understand, where does the lead go? Where is your portal, Mr. Digital Retail Vendor? Where can I access the credit information? Is that gonna come to me in a link through the CRM, or do I need to log into your portal? In some cases, you have to go to like Route 1, even though you don't have an account, or you have, like, there's all these different things that are not explained in the process of setting these things up. Like, the implementation isn't fully cooked. And so it leaves a lot of ambiguity on both ends of the spectrum, right? And then the customers exacerbate. And when I say both ends of the spectrums, I mean dealer, vendor. And then the customer exacerbates this by putting false information, right? Like, customers want to know the price. Hey, I want to know the price. So digital retailing is a good way to overcome that or circumvent that excuse. So they go into this thing, they put false information in, that they get, you know, of course, false payment information back. Because they didn't, and you know, let's say that the customers don't know that their credit is a 600. Let's say that the customer doesn't know how much money they make a month. Okay, sure, I'll buy all those things. No problem. They're still putting wrong information, and that wrong information leads to wrong payment information, right? Like, I always, you know, when there's always a price conversation, I always tell like the managers or BDC managers, it's always very simple. Like, the price is what's on the website. Your deal structure, it depends on multiple factors, which is why we need you to come in, or which is why we need you to complete these steps online prior to your visit, right? Accurate information gets you accurate payment information. But none of that stuff is part of your digital retailing experience. And so you're just leaving it up for the customer to put a bunch of information that is inaccurate. And again, buyers are liars. But at the same time, we also have to account for the people that don't know. Because believe it or not, there's a bunch of people out there that don't know how much money they make, and they don't know what their credit score is. And so, you know, all these things need to be taken into consideration as part of your internal process with digital retail. The ultimate goal for digital retailing should be, in my opinion, to convince the customer to come into the store because they're going to save time. It's not about buy my car online. Listen, dealers have been able to do that for years, right? I was working at a dealership in 2000 in Michigan, and they were selling cars online, right? Or not online, but they were selling them remote. But dealerships don't promote it, and for good reason, because they want the customer at the store. You can't get the customer at the store when you're selling a car either over the phone or, you know, sight unseen, or however you want to look at that. So you know, I understand why dealerships have done it that way, but it shouldn't be about, you know, giving up control. Like, the way that you leverage digital retailing is to save the customer time, but you have to save them time. If you don't save them time, it's all for naught, and you're only exacerbating or perpetuating the negative impression or perception, rather, that consumers have towards dealers. Anyway, so here's my strategy. This is how I do. It's very, very simple. And go to, if you want an example of how I set it up digitally, go to stephenway.com, and you could see it on, if you sign in. So here's the thing, that's an internal built website. So I built that website myself. So if you sign in, it automatically changes to a Shopify payment experience. So, you know, it kind of negates having digital retailing. But if you don't sign in, then this is what I'm just prefacing this, because if you go to that website and you experience it, I just want you to understand that if you sign in, it already is going to change to a calculate or a shop by payment experience. But if you don't sign in, this is where what I'm saying applies. So go to stephenway.com and see it for yourself. We only have one call to action on that website, just the one. Calculate your payment, right? You don't need a bunch of different CTAs if you have digital retailing on your website, because digital retailing does most of the things that you want customers, that you're asking customers to provide their information in order to receive, right? So it already does trading. You can see if you pre-qualify. You can see that if the vehicle is available. You can get your lending information. Like, all that is provided for you, right? So you don't need to have a bunch of CTAs on it. I just have the calculate payment experience for those customers who are truly ready to purchase. And then I have a, what I call a traffic converter. It's a unlock manager special button or CTA. That's it. Nothing else. You will not find another CTA anywhere on that website. I tell the customer there's a service report history in the photos, in the VDP. The VDP is a not scroll VDP. I tell the customer similar vehicles. If you create a sign-in experience, then you can customize your preferences and truly get a totally different shopping experience, which is by payment. My goal is to provide customers as much information as possible without asking for their information in return, because I'm trying to build trust. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the customer to trust by not doing it the way that everybody does it. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why I think the digital retailing exists today. I think that, you know, it came up as a way to differentiate yourself within the industry, or a vendor trying to get dealerships to differentiate themselves within an industry that has done it the same way for years and years and years. And so, and then of course COVID came and it exacerbated that whole thing, and then it became a necessity, and you saw a bunch of dealers that weren't believers actually having to use it, almost forced. And then it became this lead widget thing that every website has, but nobody really has a process built around it. So now that I have that's the digital experience. So make sure you have one call to action, because then it gets confusing, right? The worst thing that I see is when you have the CTA, then you click into it, it tells you to evaluate your trade, for example, and then you get out of it and it tells you evaluate your trade outside of the experience that you were already in. You already asked all those questions, right? And then you have your traffic converter as a fallback. Like, you don't need more than that. So the other thing is, you have to promote this stuff. So now you have a way for a customer to actually save time at the dealership, and you don't tell anybody about it. Like, again, on this website, we have banners, we have a video on the homepage. We've done a bunch of, or we continue to do a bunch of advertising through radio, OTT, Facebook, YouTube. We tell people about it. The Stephen Wade Express, the fastest way to buy a car, right? Like, we want customers to know that their time is valuable to us, and we offer them a way to complete their process or to save time at the dealership by completing some of the process online. We still require the customer, or we still encourage the customer to come into the store. And what, you're going to ship a car in your own backyard? No, of course the customer is going to come in anyway. But you're trying to let them know that they can do these things by completing these steps online. The two biggest differentiators for the stores that consult with me on the digital retailing process is you got to add the human element into the deal. Like, as soon as you get a digital retailing lead with all the information and it's a 700 plus credit score, now you got to treat that completely different. You know that the customer wants the car. You know that they spent time giving you their information. You have their credit details. You have everything you could possibly want to deem this a high priority lead, right? Yet we treat them all the same as if they were an Auto Trader or a Cars.com lead. Like, this is a completely different thing. Like, as soon as that lead comes in, somebody has to call that customer. Hey, Mr. Customer, thank you so much for showing your interest in this vehicle. I just wanted to confirm this information and go through the application. Is this correct? Is this correct? Is this correct? Is this the vehicle of interest? Yes, all that stuff. And then once you have all the confirmation from the customer, sell them again on the benefit. Well, thank you so much for submitting this. Just to let you know, this has saved you about 2 hours at the dealership. Congratulations, this is gonna be the best car buying experience you've ever had. You're gonna come into the store at, you know, we have these times available, 2:30, you know, 10:30 or 2:30, what works best for you. Okay, perfect. When you come in, you're gonna go see Tony. Make sure that you have a Tony at the dealership that is handling all these, what we call VIPs or VIP appointments, right? For your digital retailing experience, especially if you're spending money, because if you're spending money to promote this, this is going to be something that is going to drive a lot more activity and engagement. And when it's done intentionally, the customer is going to want to do it this way more and more. Trust me, I have evidence of that. Like, if you promote it and you deliver on the promises, the evidence that I see from the stores that I consult with is that they want to engage and use this tool more and more. So, or do it this way more and more. So make sure you have a Tony, right? Or somebody there that's going to, be ready to take on those VIP appointments and run them through the process, right? Make sure that you're, and the only reason I say Tony, folks, is because we have a guy that just crushes it. His name is Tony, and he just, you know, he does a fantastic job with these types of appointments. So, make sure that you also have your, whoever's handling those leads, make sure that they confirm if the customer has test drove the vehicle or not, because obviously that's going to add a layer of time that you have to consider, right? Like, if the customer's already test drove in the vehicle, like if it's a new vehicle and they already test drove the car and you can see that the customer was there a month ago or something like that, then I mean, you know, like you can just speed up the process. So, and then just make sure that you have this timed out. Like, we have a store that has a record right now, 48 minutes to buy a car. But it was an A plus credit. The customer had already test drove in the vehicle. All the information was confirmed by the agent before the customer ever showed up. The box was ready to go. The car was parked in the front of the dealership. Everything was ready. So, and we had all the information was verified and confirmed. I mean, it doesn't, if you do it the right way, folks, this is a for now, I'm not saying forever, but for now, it's an easy way for you to differentiate yourself. It's an easy way for you to differentiate yourself, but you have to make sure that you are delivering on the promises that you're making digitally. And if you do that, I promise you that this is going to become a secret weapon for you. But you have to promote it. Don't forget to do advertising around it. So anyway, that's all I have for today. Again, I'm going to link the website in the show notes. Go check it out. See how we do it for this particular group, and just, just think about it from a perspective of how can you leverage digital retailing to win more customers? right? And remember that that's why this tool exists to begin with. It's because it was built as an advantage. It wasn't built to sell cars a la Carvana. It was built to save customers time, which ties into the experience, which is ultimately what customers want anyway. Like if you ask any customer, they love buying the car, they hate waiting 4 hours. So if you can cut that time in half, right, consistently, trust me, that's gonna be something that's gonna work in your favor. Anyway, thanks everybody. We'll talk soon. Bye.